Hello and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Tor Norby from Android Studio.
I'm Chet Haas from the Toolkit team.
And I'm Ian Lake from the Toolkit team.
That was a really awkward pause as we tried to hand the baton back and forth there. And
I'm Joe Baker Malone from the Tools team.
So this is like a Toolkit versus Studio rumble.
Yeah.
Nice two-on-two battle. It's fine.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Yeah, we can totally take them. Okay, so why are we here? We're talking about toolkits and tools because maybe there's something coming out that combines the best of both worlds. What is that thing?
Oh, yeah. It's a new navigation architecture component.
Excellent.
So we tried to really kind of work both on the toolkit side, on the actual APIs and stuff, as well as on the tools side to actually give it kind of the best experience in Android Studio as well.
Okay, so when you say navigation, obviously we're talking about location.
Yeah, we have some classes, like we have a nav directions class, but no, this is really like the actual in-app navigation, like how to go from one screen of your app to another screen in your app without it being a whole bunch of boilerplate.
So this is the app the back versus up problem?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So that is
I also want to go forward.
No. We don't handle that
to the
yet.
Framework.
It's alpha release. We'll get to forward.
Right.
You can only go back.
Yeah, we do all three actually. So you know the back up and navigating forward are all first class things in this library.
But all right.
So it's a library, and
that sounded like an improv lead in. It sounded like a really bad improv.
Right. I'm hearing components and libraries, and I'm getting very very bored.
And
so the navigation library runs off of a file, XML file, and we have a fancy editor in Android Studio.
Oh, there you go. Now Tor's
all right.
Happy.
So it's a bit like you have resource files for layouts in the layout editor. Now there's a resource for navigation and a navigation editor.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I think that the navigation editor should, in a lot of ways, look familiar to anyone who's familiar with the layout editor. We have sort of the same setup with properties editors and a design surface.
Just a ton better. It's fine. but you know, like I think it's, you know, it's a brand new resource type, right? So this was added into APT and all the other things. So this is actually like something we're seriously invested in the long term.
It being part of architecture components means it must be part of the support library.
Yes.
Which means that it is not just a resource type for the platform, but it's also a resource type that is handled in a backwards compatible way.
Right. Yeah. So like all the other architecture components, it's backward compatible to API 14.
Okay.
So you can use it in basically all useful Android devices out there.
Okay.
These days.
And the Android Studio version is hot off the presses.
So this is in 3.2, our current Canary release.
Okay. So this recording is, unless we totally mess up, this is coming out after Google I.O. 2018, which means that if you go get the Canary, whatever that Canary is, that is the one that you can use this thing in. But
current hope is to have a beta a few weeks after I.O. No promises, obviously, but hopefully by the time you listen to this, you know,
Okay.
The beta.
I like the idea of saying a few weeks, which really could represent any number of weeks or months or years later, and then saying there is no commitment on that. So not only will I give you an infinite duration, but I'm going to say I'm not going to commit to that either.
Yeah. Well, I spelled few, F-U-W, which is, you know, a variable. I can insert whatever number I want with that.
All right. Okay. Let's roll this way back and restart the conversation. What is the problem that we're trying to solve, which is not unique to API or platform development, but I think it is specifically the charter of architecture components was looking at serious developer experience problems and trying to attack those to make Android easier to develop for. So what was it in this case?
Yeah, a lot of it was like when we started, you know, Android in general, it was very like activity focused. And, you know, activities are great, but they also have like a lot of limitations when it comes to passing information between different activities. Like you have to have everything be parcelable and send it through, as well as like the transitions between activities are never quite as smooth as what you could do within one activity.
Yep.
And this has basically been the case since the beginning of Android. And there's been a lot of things that we've kind of built on top of that to make things easier, like Fragments are a really good example of something that is more that in-app kind of UI pieces, right? But invariably, it comes down to that, like, well, these are complicated things to work with, and we never really had a framework that we could give you to say, like, no, this is how you're supposed to do it, and then you just plug and play the individual actual pieces of content that you want. So the navigation library is really kind of this framework that says, you know, okay, like, here's everything that you actually need, like, out of the box, and then you can actually focus on the content, the actual screens of your app, as just destinations in
this navigation. So you're saying screens. What is it that I actually do as an Android developer is to create a screen?
Yeah. So out of the box, we have support for Fragments as kind of our destinations. So Fragments are kind of that glue between the, like, architecture component world of, like, view models and lifecycle and a view. So in our world, like, having a fragment for each screen of your app makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so whenever we talk about Fragments, I have heard, you know, I'm sure this is wrong and anecdotal, but I have heard that some developers find Fragments difficult to work with.
Yeah.
So in a world of navigation where we are theoretically making things easier for developers, but we're building on Fragments, so how do we combine all these things together? So what are we doing to make sure that Fragments do not remain complicated?
Yeah, I think there's kind of a two-pronged approach. The first one is, like, because instead of doing this whole, like, fragment transaction dance and figuring out, like, what of the 12 APIs I need to call here, we kind of take care of all of that for you.
Okay.
And that's more of an implementation detail of navigation itself.
Okay, so we're hiding a lot of the complexity through the navigation APIs.
Right. So when you're using our nav controller class, which is kind of the heart of what you actually work with, you're just calling navigate and giving it a destination ID. And it's going to figure out, like, okay, like, is this a fragment? Like, how do I build the fragment transaction that goes to that place? You don't actually need to touch any of that with your bare hands anymore.
Could we do sort of a high-level tutorial? So assuming I start out with a blank project in Android Studio, and I want to set up navigation from screen A to screen B, what do I do?
Yeah, so there's a couple different pieces. For one, like, you need a navigation graph file, right? So that's some of the tooling stuff we do. You just say create new resource navigation file, right? And then you'll get a blank file, and you can say new destination, add one fragment, add a second fragment, and then we allow you to kind of draw actions. These are like little lines in the visual editor, but they're basically like the paths you can take through your app. So in the visual editor, it's just as easy as like click and drag between one to the other one. And then at that point, you have two destinations and an action to say go between these two destinations.
And these are all separate fragments in the same activity, or does it also handle activity stuff? Are we building on the model of a single activity application?
Yeah, this is definitely focused on the single activity model. So like your navigation graph is all within an activity.
Right.
You can have activity destinations, but those are kind of exit points.
Right.
Like if you're migrating your app from a multi-activity model to more of a single activity model, you could use that as
step-by-step
process.
Okay.
I think I was missing some of the details there. So you made these two pages and you drew a connection from one to the other.
Right.
But if I were to run this now, like, I'm assuming that these new fragments I created didn't actually have any buttons or links or anything in them to sort of trigger the navigation. So what do I do if I wanted to have a button to go forward and on the second page a button to go back? So I go in the layout editor, right? Is there something I can do from the
navigation
editor?
Yeah.
Well, I can't do layout there.
Oh, I see.
So
to
add
create
the
actual
so
views and
how do I get from the nav editor to the layout editor?
So when you add a new destination in the nav editor, it gives you a choice of all your existing fragments as well as activities, as Ian mentioned, but primarily fragments. And you can easily navigate from the nav editor to the layout for a specific fragment, or to the class associated with that fragment.
Like by double clicking or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you in the code for the fragment, you would have to actually make the call to navigate to using a specific action.
I see. So I would set up my graph, and then I would double click to warp into the first page. I would drag in a button, and then I have to add an event listener on the button, right?
Yes.
So then okay. And then, and that takes me to the backing Kotlin code. And in the Kotlin code,
everyone's smiling. Then we get,
now I'm in code, right? And then now I need to do something to tell the navigation library to do something. What do I do?
Yeah. And that's kind of the next step is all right, I need to get my nav controller, right? So we offer a number of helper methods and actually Kotlin extensions as well. So from any view, you can just say, find nav controller. And
okay, but now I'm in an activity, I assume, right? Because so from my activity, there's also an extension method I can call to say, give me my nav controller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's an extension method coming from the navigation library.
Yeah, so we have Kotlin libraries for all of the navigation components. So
okay, so the navigation library itself isn't a Kotlin library, but there's a helper Kotlin beautification project.
Yep. Okay. So we have a couple of static methods and stuff like these kind of things that would normally be Kotlin extension methods, and we just provided those.
All right. So I call my give me my navigation controller.
Right.
Which is non-null, nullable?
Non-null.
Okay, excellent. And then I do what? I call navigate on it?
Yeah.
And do I pass it?
Well, so each one of those destinations you put into your graph has an ID associated with it, an r.id.
I see. So that's how I can have branching. I can have page one go to either this or that based on something. So each arrow out, I would give some sort of ID.
Right. So each one of those actions has an ID.
Okay.
So when you say, I want to go to step two, or if I want to skip and go to step three, because we don't need to go to step two, right? Those are, kind of those actions. And, you're obviously that's business logic at that point, which is why it's in the code.
So I call, navigate, and I pass in my ID.
And are we in the onClick method at this point where we're getting the navigation controller
and
calling that?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is ignore the tool for a minute. Sorry, Tor. So we're in code. We're in the onClick method that we created as part of the layout editor. We get the navigation controller. We navigate. And all right, now I'm caught up. Go ahead.
Yeah. And if I wanted to have this in in a action bar drop down menu, this would just be something I did from on option menu selected or whatever, right? So the point is, from any code trigger point, I can say, okay, now I want you to do something crazy with the fragments behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah. And actually, we have a whole bunch of helper methods specifically around things built on menus.
Okay.
So if you want to have, an on option item clicked or menu item selected, then we offer a helper method that allows you to kind of say, if your menu item has the same ID as your destination ID, then we can just do that mapping for you super easily. We have helper methods to set up a bottom nav or a navigation drawer where you can just say, all right, here's my menu of these are the four things I want. And as long as those IDs for the four things in your menu match IDs in your navigation graph, then we'll hook those up. And as you click on things on your bottom nav, it goes to the right place in your app and does the right thing.
I see. And this is done through code, not through resources.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I liked your idea for having a method called do something crazy with fragments. I don't know if that's in Kotlin extensions
I'm pretty sure that's every method.
Okay.
That's called the Fragments API.
Okay. So this is a convention. If you happen to set up your menu this way, and if you happen to have those mappings over there, is this something that the tool does automatically to create that convention?
Not yet.
If you're creating for the tool.
So right now it's just relying on kind of you reusing the same IDs in both spaces to kind of work that mapping. But we're looking at kind of if we can do more in that space and try and be a little bit more helpful. But the menu space is also a lot of things have menus and trying to figure out which menus are associated with navigation actions and which one are just overflow menus you have in a random screen of your app. Is a little bit tricky.
Okay. All right. So we're in code, we're navigating, and this is automatically going to put together the fragment transaction, which includes a transition as well, right?
Yeah. So we do have support for animations and stuff. So when you're defining these actions in your navigation graph, you can actually attach a lot of information to that action. So you can say like, oh, we'll run this enter animation and this exit animation. Or like if you want to do a replace operation, you say, well, pop things off the navigation stack and then go to the new place, right?
So I was playing with the navigation editor and I saw that in the property sheet, you know, when I've selected one of these edges, there is a there's a bunch of transition properties.
Right.
But I didn't know what to put there. Like, am I supposed to just create normal old style animation resources? Like the anim?
I believe all the fragment stuff. So this is building on support library fragment stuff, right? So I think we added the animator stuff into that. So
you get both. Both the old and the new style.
So you can do richer animations than you could have with the old ones.
Okay.
Right. So the old one sort of built on the window animation model and was very limited, but with the animators you can do more.
Yeah. So we do support both. Like obviously if you're using a activity destination, like you only get the older ones because that's the only thing activities support.
Yep.
But for fragments, obviously you'll get both. But yeah, this is another area that we're in alpha, so we're hoping to get some more feedback on like what other things we need to add. I know we've gotten some feedback already from early access partners on shared element transitions and things like that. So, which certainly a lot of apps do like to use to make things prettier. So, something we're going to be looking at.
So, the point of releasing this early. So, I would say architecture components in general has been really aggressive about getting out there early and getting feedback, since the whole point was to solve these developer problems. Why don't we find out from developers whether they did and what they can do better? How do people give feedback then?
Yeah. So, we're going to have kind of public issue trackers specifically for both the navigation component itself as well as the navigation editor. So if you want to give feedback on either one of them, like we love that kind of feedback.
Okay.
Is that the easiest way to file bugs for Studio is to always in Studio go to the help menu and enter submit feedback. The advantage of that is that we then generate the URL, which includes the version number and OS and a few other things. So you don't have to, we don't have to ask you when you don't tell us.
Yeah.
And it takes you to the right place.
For the support library stuff, not as straightforward if you're filing against the APIs or if you have a feature request.
Yeah, that's issuetracker.google.com. So they're all public issue trackers now. So just like all the other architecture components, we have kind of public issues for all that stuff. So if you're ever interested in figuring out what other people want, that's a pretty decent place to troll through.
And if you want to fix any of that stuff, you want to fix any of those things, we do invite contributions from the community and we're hiring. I'll just put that out there as an ad. This podcast has been sponsored by the UI Toolkit team. All right.
The Android Toolkit team.
Yes.
So Joe, can you talk a bit about some of the other features that you have in the nav editor?
So I guess in the nav editor, our vision eventually is for it to sort of be a jumping off place for developing your whole app. So right now, you go and you create a new project, and you get, your choice of activities to start with. I think that in a navigation-based world, what would be nice is if you instead got maybe a choice of a starting fragment, and also you had created right off a navigation graph. And the navigation graph could really be sort of the way you look at your whole project and the interactions between the different parts. And a convenient way to navigate to, whatever specific layout or class you want to work on. We're not there yet in terms of templates and everything. But I think that we are sort of working with that in mind to really let the navigation editor give you an overview of your whole project. And that includes showing, little previews of each fragment you have. As well as being able to, lay them out in some coherent way to let you also group things together in ways that make sense, and see the connections between different parts of an app in a way that hasn't been possible really previously.
Right. So right now, the layout is sort of pretty basic, and you have to sort of manually yourself drag things around. Are you thinking of doing more automated things there in the future?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, in this first version, we have some, sort of extremely simple rules for laying things out. Mostly we're relying on the user to position things in ways that make sense to them. In the future, it would definitely be nice to have some way to sort of try to figure out maybe, you know, connected components of your graph and group those together automatically, or at least arrange the arrange the destinations in some way that makes it the graph itself not be too ugly and spaghetti like.
Right. Mathematical definition of ugly.
There's certainly this, like, you know, someone is going to want to manually move something down just a little bit. And so I think we always kind of want to support that use case because, you know, developers are developers. But at the same point, like, there's certainly that, like, I'm loading up the graph for the first time and I want it to look nice by default.
I've gotten to the point now where in the IDE, I never tweak code by hand. I just reformat. Right, just run the formatter over and over. And you know,
you're saying you never write code by hand. You're just reformatting. That's what you do for a living.
I've been trying to figure this out for years. I don't know what words came out of my mouth. I don't tweak the indentation anymore. Right, I used to go and I had very strong opinions, and I would basically fight the formatter to do it the correct way. Now I've given up. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm just going to have the convenience. So I run it from the command line, just right. Over the whole tree, to fix it before I check in. Right.
So and as long as it's robust enough, you just depend on that.
Exactly. And I think that for, you know, my usage of the nav editor will be like, I will just press that auto layout button, fix it for me, you know.
Yeah. And like one thing we've done with the XML files is like make sure that that kind of precise precisioning information isn't actually in the XML file itself.
Yeah, that would lead to nightmare file merges.
Yeah. The nightmare file merges are something we're not going to support at all.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Right.
But the actual positioning information is in your .idea folder. So if you wanted to check that in and share it across your whole team, you could.
Don't do that. Don't do it.
So can you help me understand the mapping between the tool and the XML file, or just the structure of the XML file itself?
Yeah.
What is in there and how does that translate into what we're seeing in the editor?
Yeah, so basically every time you're in the editor itself, you're seeing a navigation graph. So this is actually a navigation tag in the XML. That's kind of the root of the whole graph, right? And then each one of these destinations are just a fragment tag in the actual navigation graph XML file. So it's very...
Is it actually called fragment?
It actually is called fragment.
Okay, because I thought you said something about activity destinations.
Yeah, so we have a probably more complicated than Joe would like method of trying to figure out like what kind of destination it is. So if you're using an activity destination, it's an activity element. If it's a fragment...
Oh, I see. So it's not
fragment.
Always fragment. I see. So you
right.
have several different types. Okay,
yeah.
Now I understand.
So, and if you want to add support for a brand new type of destination, then you can actually get it to the point where like it's just whatever your new tag is, and we'll figure that out.
Support for that in the editor is limited.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So where... How do the edges connect, though? The edge, you know, in my mind, having not used the tool, is... okay, so I clicked on the button and that automatically, you know, bundles up the fragment transaction and away I go to that other fragment. How is that information embedded in this file, or is it not? That is still in code.
Yeah, so the actions, those lines between the destinations are just childs of the fragment itself, right? So from a fragment, it may have a couple of elements within it of like action one, action two, action three, and those kind of tell you what the available actions are for that particular destination.
So the actions are just, sorry, the edges are actions, but then in the code you define when this particular event occurs, I want to take the following action.
Right.
Right. So all the editor knows is that I am going from this fragment to that fragment, but it does not know I am going from a button click here to that fragment.
Right. Okay. And it doesn't actually know that it's a fragment, really.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, from your code's perspective, like it's actually the same navigate call, like, in one of your product flavors that might be calling an activity, and in another product flavor it might be calling a fragment.
Okay.
And your code doesn't actually need to know about any of that.
Right.
It just needs to know, oh, this is my action ID and I'm done.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other thing I want to understand is, so you started talking about the screens, and as you go into the editor, you're seeing all the screens laid out with the edges between them. But if we're talking about fragments, we could have several fragments making up a single screen inside an activity, right? So what's I guess what's the difference between like what we're separating out in the editor versus what may be combined in what the user actually sees on the on their screen?
Yeah, yeah. So this kind of brings up kind of the last kind of fundamental piece of the puzzle, which is a thing called a nav host. So the nav host is actually that thing you put in your layout file to say like this is a nav controller controlled area. Mm-hmm. So like the most super basic is like your entire activity is just a nav host fragment, for instance. And then whenever you call navigate, it's just going to replace the entire contents of that nav host fragment, right? But maybe you have like your action bar or your bottom yep. nav outside of that, right? So if you're doing more complicated things, like where you want like a two-pane layout, like you could just have a destination that has a nav host fragment within it, right? And then you're kind of that, like the detail pane switching out could be that embedded nested nav host fragment right. switching.
Right? Did you just say that the screens that I'm looking at are really the layouts that have a nav host fragment yeah. in it?
So there's only one nav host fragment kind of at that top level. So when you're calling navigate, you're just moving between normal fragments.
So in the nav editor, what you're seeing is the fragments that can be put into the nav host fragment in the containing activity.
I see.
Right. And from that perspective, we've really focused so far on the simple situation that Ian mentioned, where you have a single nav host fragment that takes up the whole activity. In the future, we would like to be a little bit better about rendering your screens in a way that they would actually show up instead of just rendering only that fragment in the nav editor.
Okay.
Right. So maybe a separate view where you weren't just showing the individual fragments, but you were showing those in the context of what it would look like
yeah, exactly.
embedded in the larger nav host.
Right. Yeah. And some of this is like that same navigation graph. Like the typical case is like, well, you have one place you're using the same graph, right? But you know, like they can certainly be reused across multiple things. So in this context of like, all right, well, what is the activity layout that your nav host is in that, you know, to actually give kind of a richer preview.
Yep.
So we just kind of assume like, no, like this is for the actual navigation editor. It's like, well, you're looking at the content of your app, right? You're not necessarily concerned about like, oh, which state my bottom nav is in when I'm at a particular place, right? That's not helpful to have it repeated over every screen of your app
yep.
of like, oh, great, I have the same four icons on the bottom.
Yeah. So maybe there's two separate views. Like you still have the individual component view because that's probably what you care about most when you're developing it, but then some other view that shows you more of, you know, context.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to move back to something you'd mentioned earlier. I think we sort of stopped you mid-discussion. You said there's two prongs to making fragments less complicated. One is that you're not papering over, you're working on top of all of the complexities and embedding that within what the navigation controller does for you. So hopefully things are less complicated. And that was the first prong.
Yes.
Do you remember what the second prong was?
There actually is a second prong, yeah.
Okay.
The other piece is that we specifically built all the navigation controller, the entire runtime library, as a generic destination. So like when we talked about activities and fragments, right? Like that's the navigation fragment is actually a separate dependency you have to pull in if you want fragments. So this kind of gives us a lot more flexibility of saying like, if you want to use some totally different kind of structure that isn't fragments, but you still want to have the easy like navigation editor and like the navigate calls, like you can actually totally build that.
Okay.
So it comes down to like the navigation controller itself doesn't actually know what an activity is. It doesn't know what a fragment is. It's actually kind of delegating out to this concept of a navigator.
Yeah.
So if you are a library developer and you want to build your own navigator that uses your own custom system that isn't fragments, like that actually plugs in fairly nicely into the whole runtime library without you having to do a lot of work. Those are extension points we've built in for very specific reasons.
Okay.
And then we've kind of forced ourselves to be honest by building our fragment solution on top of that same API. So like you're not getting any less of an experience than we are on how you interact with the actual runtime library.
Okay.
So you're using a resource type for this. Does that mean that I could have more than one navigation file, and when would that be useful?
Yeah. So one case that came up a lot was actually the Instant App kind of modules, where you, if you have multiple features, those are necessarily in separate activities. So in that sense, like having separate navigation graphs for each activity is going to make a lot of sense.
I see. And then in the nav editor, you have this nested graph concept. Is that used for similar things, or is that more just a help?
Well, so there's sort of two different things. One is included graphs. So you can have a single graph that will sort of point to other graphs. So you can navigate from a fragment in one graph to a fragment or to another graph file, another graph resource that's included in the first. Another thing is you can have as you said, nested graphs. So Ian, when he was describing the layout of the file earlier, he mentioned that at the top level there's a navigation tag. You can also have, as a child of a navigation, another navigation, which itself contains destinations. And it will have its own start destination, and then you can exit out from that. That isn't really, I believe, for the Instant App kind of case. It's more for pre-populating the up stack, I believe. Yep. So if you deep link, for example, into a nested graph, then you'll automatically be able to navigate up from that to the containing graph.
Oh,
yeah. So how instead of this whole like manual, like I'm building my up stack kind of thing,
yeah,
it's actually the structure of your navigation graph is your hierarchy, right? So when you deep link into something, right, you're actually saying like navigate down my navigation graph to get to this destination, right? So that's some of the how we're being more prescriptive and saying like, no, like how you structure your graph is how your up button works.
That's great, because it's going to mean that the up's generally going to feel pretty consistent as opposed to doing something random.
Yeah, and like I think my favorite part here is like we've actually integrated all of that into like when you build a deep link, we have a nav deep link builder class, which just says like deep link to this destination ID. And it builds the whole up stack and stuff for you. So like there's actually really hard to get it wrong. It's kind of correct by default and like correct from the like designer's perspective also.
I like the idea of random up behavior. That's like a kind of an I'm feeling lucky button.
I can't remember the last time I pressed up. And I think it might have been, maybe I just learned that it's not going to do the right thing, or do you use up actively?
It depends on the app, but same problem with back. Some apps just, I didn't think I was exiting the application. Okay then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So along with the navigation library, we've actually, part of the documentation is a principles of navigation.
Ooh.
So
it's part of the overall opinionated guide. Yeah. Or architecture.
It's in that same vein of like these thou shalt do these type of things. And one of the things is like the up button should never exit your app, right? And things like that, where we're trying to kind of build out these principles. Like even if you're not using navigation, like you should probably be following these principles, because otherwise users will get mad at you.
Yeah.
But the navigation architecture component is going to do the right thing by default.
Right.
So, you know,
at least now you can point to an authority and say, this is what the guidelines say. So, you know, you can file a bug against apps that are sort of violating the expectations of users.
And we've gotten so many like requests from developers to have that kind of stuff where it's like when their PM comes to them and be like, can we just change this to do something weird? And like, no, only fragments do something weird. But for this, like, no, you can just deep link, you know, that this is the principles right here, and now see the Android team says we should do it this way. And hopefully we'll get to the point where all the apps are kind of doing it the same way, right? So then we actually have some consistency across things. And that was something that, like, without navigation was really hard to both enforce and teach.
Yep.
Because, like, if you need to do 20, 30 lines to get, you know, kind of your up behavior correct instead of, like, what you call nav controller, navigate up. And it's going to do the right thing based on your navigation graph. Like, that's a lot easier and a lot harder to mess up.
Hopefully you added a randomized method anyway, just for the old behavior.
You know,
so check and implement the I'm feeling lucky button in the Google search app.
You know, like most things, you know, we can't actually enforce that you call it in the right place. So if you want to continue doing the wrong thing.
How big is the navigation resource file for the Google search app that links to every page on the web?
That's a detail
a big
we
download.
Don't talk about in public. Yeah. So,
One more question on the resource types again. So by using the resource system, I guess you could actually have overrides, right? So you could have a different navigation graph in different locales, versions. Have you come across use cases for this?
It turns out that it's pretty limited.
Yeah.
That there's a few cases where, like, you may want to change, reuse the same action IDs, but have them point to different destinations.
Right.
Across
so like on a large screen, you're like, hey, I'm going to put these together and go to this combined fragment instead. Okay.
Right. Things get a lot trickier when you consider things like multi-window and stuff like that, where you may be transitioning from a big screen to a small screen just by, like, the user resizing their window. So most of the time, and especially what we've talked with kind of the material team, is trying to build just more flexible destinations rather than, like, completely changing your navigation graph based on the size of your screen. So yes, it's technically something that we support just by being in the resource system. I think the more useful case is actually going to be things on, like, the version of Android you're on. That type of thing where you may have different flows based on, like, do I have to go through permissions flows or do I have to not? And those type of things, rather than something that's going to change on a configuration change kind of basis.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question that I'm going to have to ask Tor and Joe to close their ears for a minute. How much of a dependency is there on using the tool, or how much of an expectation is there that developers use both sides of this? Maybe another way to talk about this is, where do we see people using the tool or needing the tool, or what are the use cases where you're going to do code versus the editor?
Well, I think just by the two people looking at me right now, I'll say the editor is probably a better experience in a lot of cases when you have kind of a static graph, right? One you know ahead of time, that you know at build time, and, you know, whether you use the actual visual side of that or you use the XML side of that, like, you know, I think both are probably reasonable. Like, I think coming from a perspective where it's like, well, you're going to have to code review the XML at the moment. Like, we tried to make the XML as readable as possible.
Yeah.
Right. But there's certainly cases where, like, you're downloading things from the server, or, you know, you need to kind of customize things based on, like, what country you're in, because you have to show legal requirements in one part, but you don't need to show in other countries, where, like, yeah, you'll need to kind of change your navigation graph at runtime. So one of the things that was...
Or you could use the region qualifier in your resource file and the include tag that Joe talked about.
Sure, yeah. That doesn't actually help you very much when it's the country the user is currently in.
You just the other 160 whatever country.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, one of the things we've tried really hard on is anything you can do in the XML, there's a one-to-one with things you can do in code. So if you want to do everything programmatically... you know, good luck. You know, we've actually, one of the things we did in our Kotlin libraries was actually build kind of a small DSL that makes building navigation graphs quite a bit easier than it would be otherwise. But at the same point, like, you're going to lose out on a lot of the tooling stuff and a lot of the other integrations we have. So I don't think we've mentioned it yet. But, like, for deep links, the other kind of deep links are web deep links, right? Like, you know, you have a web link and you want it to open your app, right? And in the current structure, you have to build out a whole intent filter in your manifest. And, you know, if you mess up one character there, then the whole system explodes. And part of the benefit of having you build a navigation graph is you can define deep links in your navigation graph and say, like, deep link to this is the URI pattern. And then we actually worked with kind of the manifest merger team and stuff so that you can add a nav graph element underneath your activity in your manifest and just point it at a navigation XML file. And we'll build the intent filter for you. So you don't have to build the like 15 lines there if you don't want to, right? And that's something that you're only going to get with the tools.
Right.
And Gradle. This is a Gradle feature, Chet. So yeah, you can see the excitement spreading on his face.
Yeah. Yeah. Excitement. That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah. So, but at the same point, like it is an element you add to your manifest. So
I think the manifest merger, I think, is a fantastic helper to Android developers, right? Because in the past, in the bad old days, you know, you would go to some tutorial page and it would say, oh, to use this, you have to copy this into your manifest, this into your code. And so people would copy the kitchen sink into the manifest. And so you'd see these apps that had all these things they didn't need, but it came from experiments they had done. Whereas now you just point to a library and it basically declares the stuff it needs and that gets merged for you. So your manifest is nice and clean.
Yep. So, and like, I think that really opens up this ability where like a lot of the time people were using activities just because you could put separate intent filters on them. Like, it wasn't easy to build like this routing kind of library where you say, oh, well, if I get this kind of intent, then, you know, start this other fragment and go through this process and build your whole back stack and all this stuff. And it's like, no, like we're going to do all of that stuff for you because you've told us about your graph ahead of time. We know what that structure needs to be, right? You don't need to tell us again. We'll just read your XML file and figure it out for you.
Actually, I want to mention this before. I think the other reason why many developers are still using the multi-activity model is because that's the way we told them how to do it in the early days, right? And we've started talking more recently about, you know, single activity kind of makes sense. You can do richer animations and transitions. You can collect, you know, common functionality together a bit easier. So maybe this makes sense for developers, but I don't think we said that very strongly. And so I think the default assumption, especially for people that are wading through our docs and Stack Overflow, is an application is many activities. And I don't think that's the case. That's necessarily the case for Android. And I think this is a strong step in that direction. So it's not just because we're doing the navigation controller. It's because we think this is the right way to build a rich application on Android now. It's just that there's this legacy of people thinking of their different screens in terms of different activities, and that's not necessarily a given.
Well, and then fragments used to be pretty tricky. And as I understand it, the team has done a lot of fixes to fragments.
Yep.
And in fact, because of that, we really don't want people to use the system fragments anymore, right? We really want everyone to use the support library. Is that correct?
Yeah, the framework ones have actually been officially deprecated in Android P.
Woohoo!
So we get to only support one fragment that actually works and actually works consistently across all versions of Android.
And has been much improved and has continued to be worked on.
Yeah,
were there many changes they made as a result of the work on navigation?
So there were some changes that, yes, I made as the person who also does a lot of fragment work. But no, for the most part, a lot of it was just kind of a buildup of what we've been doing over the last 2 years, like tightening up a lot of our guarantees on kind of what we're doing with fragments. And, you know, again, like a big part of navigation is just like, you don't touch those rough edges anymore, right? And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, kind of continue to do that. I think there's a fragment talk at I/O that Adam and I have that, you know, kind of talked a lot about like where fragments are going and stuff like that. So
have you considered rebranding?
Yeah, you know,
like I think if you were to call it, screens, I think people are like, oh yeah, I like the new screen API. It's great.
Yeah, and I think there's like we don't want to rename things, but still have it be even slightly broken. So there's you know, certainly some cases where like the Fragment API does 16 things. I think we counted, 18 things. And we're like, you could maybe use like two or three of those. And that's probably a reasonable API.
By the time this is broadcast, it'll be 20 things, just so you know.
I did add one more.
See, I knew it.
And, but it was more to make things easier than harder. It's fine. Right. But yeah, I think like there's a lot more we can do, right? And I think the nice part is that if you're using Fragments or you're using some other system now, you can still move to navigation now. And if something brand new comes out, like, you won't actually need to change any of your code. You may just
change the
XML attributes.
A great lead into my question, which is, you said you can use it now. What is the quality level of the libraries now, and what is the expected sort of ETA on it being stable?
Yeah, good question.
And then in some number of weeks in the future, there's no commitment in particular.
Yeah, in a few weeks. I think, like, with all the architecture components, there's been a really strong focus on having a lot of internal testing.
Yeah.
So it's something that, you know, we had a lot of baggage from some of the support libraries and stuff where they had a lot of legacy code. Architecture components has kind of been in a much better case where we're kind of starting from scratch and we can build things very testable, at least on our end, and on your end, hopefully, such that we have a really strong idea that, yes, it actually works. Like, if your PM is in the, like, super gutsy camp, you know, it actually works. Like, we actually have one group in Google Play Services that is already using and already shipped to all Android devices navigation. It is actually out there in the wild on a billion devices and working.
All right.
They're actually super happy with it. Certainly, that's a risk scenario that you need to have. The important thing with alpha is that it's just not API stable.
All right. So you think that it works, but you may continue to make tweaks to it based on feedback.
Will continue to make tweaks. Okay. I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Does that mean that if they dip their toes in it now, they're gonna have to change their code?
So we're really happy with the nav controller side of code. So I mentioned kind of the navigator side of thing, that underlying piece. That's something that we really want a lot of feedback on, especially from those library developers who want to build something totally different, because I think that's one area that we can probably do a little bit more. There's probably one or two methods in there that are like, oh yeah, no, if I only have this one method, everything would work perfectly. And I think that's the kind of thing that maybe we'll have a little bit more churn. But from a, like, just the basics of, like, calling navigate, like, yeah, that's going to be exactly what we got right now.
Right. Also, what about the tool?
Yeah, it sounds like some of the stuff that we talked about was about tool enhancements that you have in mind going forward, and that would not be presumably a breaking change. That's just a richer experience going forward, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have a ton of work left to do in the tool. You know, this is a first version running against an alpha library. We've been working on it for a while, but there's still a ton of extra features, integration with the rest of Studio. In addition, like I mentioned before, the idea of sort of making the navigation graph a more central point within Studio, and that includes also adding, you know, other templates for Fragments. Moving away from the activity templates that we have now, maybe to some extent. I mean, nothing that we would change in Studio, of course, would make you have to change the code in your app. But yeah, for sure, there's a lot of work left to do.
So there must be some interdependency, though, where if the tool is depending on a particular version, especially of the resource, and that has been modified according to, you know, feedback and iteration during alpha or beta, then you need to figure out the versions to work for. Like, is that going to be straightforward when you update, you know, Android Studio? Are you going to know which version of the library to work with?
When we get there, yeah, we're totally going to figure that out. I'm sure it'll be seamless by then. One of the things we've tried to do before IO is get to the point where we're really happy with the linking between Studio and the library, such that we hope that there's not any, like, breaking changes between the two of them. Certainly not out of the realm of possibility, but it's something that, you know, we're going to have to kind of focus on here in this alpha stage. So
okay. So actually, for an example of that, when they get the Canary after IO and they download this thing, like, does that come bundled with the library? Like, how do they know that they're using the right version? Or is there some, like, what are they supposed to put in their build.gradle file in order to pull in the right version of the library?
So the library is just a artifact on gmaven.
Yeah.
And Studio will, if you go in Studio and create a navigation resource, Studio will ask you, hey, you know, you need to include this,
okay,
this library in order for it to work. And it should, hopefully, add everything correctly to your build.gradle. Okay.
So Studio knows internally which version it is dependent on, and it would add that for you.
Well, so I guess we don't have idea of being dependent on a certain version at this point. Like, our, it's not like we're calling from Studio into the navigation library code.
It's only if the XML.
It's only dependent on the XML, right?
Yeah, we do look. We do actually look a little bit at some annotations on classes in there. For example, Ian mentioned that the core of the library is written in such a way that in the future it could easily be used to navigate between things other than fragments and activities. So if one of those new types were added, we sort of do our best to figure out what the XML, corresponding XML, should look like. But that's a kind of situation in which there would, in order to get full support, we would need to have some changes to Studio probably in order to support those other types.
Yeah, so things like, you know, layout previews and stuff like that, right? Or something that, like, we can kind of figure out for activities, yeah, and kind of figure out for fragments if you have the right tools, attributes, and things like that. But it's something we're trying to make a more generic thing such that anything can use those same things and we can have the same kind of rich experience in the editor.
So in layout editor, or sorry, navigation editor right now, we give you a convenient list of your available fragments and activities that you can add as destinations. We wouldn't know, for example, to look for any new type that's there. We wouldn't be able to put that in that list.
Right.
All right. I guess we've talked about PMs twice today, and they would ask about call to action here. So is there a call to action?
Yeah. So the easiest way to do it is actually just download Android Studio 3.2, latest Canary, and run it. And
create a new navigation resource.
When you create a new navigation resource, it'll add the library for you, and you'll be off running. And you can get started with the editor and go right from there. We have a lot of docs on developer.android.com/arch, which is kind of the entry point for all their architecture components. So navigation will be up there. We have a implementing navigation documentation page, which kind of goes through all the steps you might want to do to go from absolutely nothing to a full app that uses navigation.
IO talk on navigation.
Yes.
IO talk on fragments. What the fragment to, I think. Anything else? There's other architecture component stuff as well. I don't know if there was any other IO content for people to check out on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure navigation will be talked about in a lot of the talks. So it's a lot of the what's new talks being, yep, something totally new and relatively flashy. I guess it'll probably come up once or twice, or I think five times.
Something like that.
But
okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of content out there, but the IO talk is probably going to be kind of the, if you want to just sit down and relax and learn about navigation, that would be the talk to watch.
Yeah, well, by the time you listen to this, those talks are already over, but you can sit down on your couch and watch the YouTube recordings, which are great.
At 2x.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.